everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. We're glad you've joined us today for a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, as we do on these Friday editions. So for today, the phone lines into the live program are not open. Still, if you have a question or if there's something you'd like us to discuss, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. But for today, it's a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, and here to get us underway is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking through the eight essential truths that every Christian needs to know. We've called this series The Power of Eight, and we're spending 2 weeks on each topic. So we spent 2 weeks on the deity of Jesus Christ, or the person of Jesus Christ. We looked at both his deity and his humanity and what that means to us. We took 2 weeks to look at the Word of God. And last week and this week, we're looking at the new covenant. So it's so vitally important that we as believers know that we're not in the old covenant. We're not under law, but we're under grace. Mm-hmm. We live life, this abundant life that Christ has given us, within the framework of the new covenant. That is the covenant that is operative today.
Yes.
That old covenant was fulfilled by Christ Jesus. And in fulfilling his blood, ratified a new covenant. So, Richard, we want to spend a little bit of time here at the top of the broadcast and just summarize what the new covenant really means. And we know, according to Jeremiah and according to the writer of Hebrews, who pulls Jeremiah's prophecy forward to his letter, we see that the new is not like the old in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
Except when you read them, a lot of the language seems similar.
Seems.
Yes. Yeah, so walk us through that, Richard, and tell us why this new is not like the old.
Well, first of all, you've got to realize that it's God who said it's not going to be like the old. He said, and it's reported in Hebrews in Jeremiah 31, this is not like the covenant I made with their fathers. Okay, so he made a covenant, and this one is not like that. Well, when did he make that covenant? When I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant. So this is the writer of Hebrews saying the same thing that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, when he talks about the law engraved in letters on stone that came with glory, but not anywhere near the surpassing glory of this new covenant. And so it cannot be the same thing, because God said it's not the same thing. If we try to explain that difference away, we're doing a real disservice to our listeners, our readers, our parishioners. Don't do it. God said it's different. Admit that it's different. And it's also based on four promises, not having a core of 10 laws that are stated basically, thou shalt not. And it really means don't even think about.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
Very,
that's
really
right. There's
strong.
A seriousness to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So those four promises, as we talked about last week, is that the laws of faith, hope, and love are going to be in us. That speaks to God's presence, the Holy Spirit teaching us. He's going to be our God and will be his people. There's no question about it. Now, the fact is, God was the God of Israel. They were his people, but we Gentiles weren't yet. Under the new covenant, we are. You will all know me. Now, this is a promise that Jesus fulfilled in John 17. We'll get to that in a minute. And then I'll remember your sins no more. Now, under the old covenant, under the Mosaic law, sins were a constant reminder. Everything they did about the sacrificial system was a constant reminder of sins. Now, it was also a reminder that there was mercy and grace and something was going to change. And so this plan of God to change the covenant was actually good news, because he's saying, I'm going to take care of this sin thing once and for all. And he did. So when we talk about the new covenant, we're talking about something utterly different than the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant given to Israel at Sinai. And we're talking about a covenant that in the glory of God and in the grace of God includes both Jews and Gentiles. Paul, again, in Ephesians says, Ephesians 2 says, God tore down the dividing wall of hostility, making the two one. Jew and Gentile have now become one in Christ. That is a new covenant reality. It could never be a reality under the old. And so we're talking about different things, and we want to talk about why that's so important.
Yes, indeed. Well, there's the old, and most of the Old Testament is all centered around that Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments and the rituals and regulations. It was a way of life for the Jewish people, and it still is in many respects. And yet the prophets of old kept saying, "Hey, there's a new one coming." So they were telling them early on that something's wrong with this one. There's something not quite right with this old covenant, this Mosaic covenant. And the writer of Hebrews really hits on that. What was wrong with that old covenant?
The people, not God.
Right.
The people. The people failed to keep the covenant. That's what God said to Jeremiah. Look, they failed to keep my covenant. And so because it was a different form of government as well, God made a covenant with the people as their king. Okay, in those days, that would have been called a suzerainty treaty. He was their king, their suzerain. And today, God makes the covenant with himself. He and Jesus got together and said, and in fact, in prehistory, he got together. God said, if this blows up, here's what we're going to do. And they were prepared for it. They brought it to pass.
Well, they knew it was going to blow up.
Yes.
It's like, this is what's going to happen, and it's going to be on our shoulders
to fix it,
not the shoulders of the people.
Yeah.
So you said some pretty big words there about the nature of the old, but it's really a contract between a superior and an inferior.
Yes. I will do this for you if you do this for me.
Right. And the people could not live up to their end of the bargain. Mm-hmm. So that was what was wrong with the old covenant. But in this new, he simply does these things for us. So it's more like a will. It's a unilateral declaration that God makes to those who are his children. These things are going to be true.
Yeah.
Period. End of story.
The real difference is the difference between law and promise.
Yes.
God promised through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to do something on our behalf. To Moses, who was not in that line, he gave a law in order to define a people and to give them hope and to show the future, all these shadows, but it was not the promise. This covenant is the promise.
Is the promise, which makes us children of the promise.
Absolutely.
So God is faithful to deliver on his promises, and he's delivered on every one of these that you outlined for us in Jesus.
Yes.
So we have the Spirit living in us. We belong to God. We've been marked out by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's the deposit guaranteeing that we belong to him. We all know him. It's interesting, when we were in Israel, we went to the Western Wall, what many would know of as the Wailing Wall, and you would see a lot of the religious Jewish people, and they would have the phylacteries on their heads and on their arms. And it was, those phylacteries are filled with, I think, four passages, all that state you should have the Word of God on your forehead and on your arms. And that was the knowledge of God, and they passed on that knowledge, but it was information. But you and I have a heart relationship with God. We know him personally, intimately, and he knows us. And then this fourth, that he remembers our sins no more, that is just powerful. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that after we share some good news about a resource that we have available to you. It's called Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. And it revolves a lot around this new covenant and what the new covenant ultimately led to. And that's the presence of God in us. And that's what marks us out as believers. That's our mark of distinction. And that's how God knows us. He lives inside of us. And it has some very powerful, practical implications on how to deal with others in relationships. When Christ is in you and somebody has done something against you, man, there's all kinds of fear in wanting to go to that person and to talk it out, to try to resolve it. None of us want to do that. But if we go knowing that God's presence is there with us, what we're going to experience in that moment is his presence being manifested in that situation. I've seen it. I've seen that spirit of reconciliation and forgiveness just bubble up in overwhelming ways that all you can do is reach out and love and hug the person, and you see reconciliation take place. So God's presence really has some very powerful, practical implications in your day-to-day life. And we want to put this resource in your hands. Richard and I had a great time putting this together, teaching through it. I know you're going to be blessed, encouraged by it. And it's a resource that you can gather up a group of people and have a small group Bible study with. So take advantage of this. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Just go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, and hit the donate button. Or there's a big banner about presence, rest for the soul, power for the journey, right on the homepage. You can click that as well. Follow all the instructions and be sure to request your copy of Presence, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can. Now back to the new covenant. Yeah. So this is the third essential truth that every Christian needs to know. We need to know about Jesus. Who is he? What he has accomplished. We need to know about the Word of God, that we can trust the Word of God, that we can rely upon the Word of God as authoritative in our lives. And then the third thing that we need to know is that we live in a new covenant, that Jesus ushered in a new covenant. And this new covenant has some very practical implications for us as well, right, Richard? As far as how we deal with our past, under the old, the past was just always with you. It was always there lurking and haunting and all the things that it does. And it brought with it a measure of guilt and shame. And people kind of lived in that. Yeah. And there were some temporary ways to get out from underneath it, but not permanent. So tell us how it's different in the new covenant as far as our past is concerned.
Well, what I'm going to talk about here, and in two more little sections, has to do with the foundation of how to live your life. We'll be getting into more detail in future weeks, but one of the things you have to stop and realize when you're thinking about your past is that your past was still future when Jesus died and rose again. I can't overstate that enough. Jesus died long before you were born, long before you ever committed a sin. I mean, why do you sin? Because you were born a sinner. You were born dead spiritually. But he died and rose again first, long before you got to this world. And that's why these two passages make such a difference in your life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. This couldn't be true if Jesus hadn't died and risen again long before you and I were born. The second passage, and this is one of two of them, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. That's Ephesians 1, 7, and 8. These two passages, among hundreds of others, give you the core that you no longer have to allow Satan to beat you up regarding your past. He's going to come to you and say, well, it's just not enough. And you never get out of that. And you can say to him, go away. Jesus died and rose again long ago. It was enough. Hebrews tells us he died once for all. His death and resurrection was enough for me. My past is done.
He took away your sins.
He took it away.
He took it away once and for all. And these two passages really just fit nicely or nested in that fourth promise of the
yes.
new covenant, that he has forgiven our sins and he remembers them no mm-hmm. more. Why? Because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was sufficient. So we can stand and say there's no condemnation for us. We've been set free from the law of sin and death, and that in him we are forgiven people. And that's how you deal with the past.
Yes.
That's how you let go of the past. You recognize that Jesus has already done something with it. And he did, and what he did with it was miraculous.
Yes.
It was so powerful, too, that it can't take a grip on you anymore if you rest in what Christ has accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. We tend to think that Jesus swept it all under the rug. No, he didn't. He took it all on himself.
That's right.
And took it away eternally.
Absolutely.
Very different.
Absolutely. And the blood of bulls and goats could not do that.
There's
no other human sacrifice. I mean, we can say to God, we're going to try harder, we're going to do more, we're going to pray more, all of those things. That won't take away our sins. Only the blood of Jesus. That blood was sacrificed one time for all sin forever. And when we're in Christ, we are forgiven people. Now, the next thing is this new covenant has very practical implications on here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we think about the gospel, we think of it in terms of a way to go to heaven. You know, here's our ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
And we don't really see a lot of that in the New Testament. We see a lot of, you know, at the very end where a new Jerusalem is going to come
yes.
down and we're going to have our dwelling place here on earth. And we see a lot about where heaven and earth connect, and that's in Jesus Christ, and that's mm-hmm. now in us, his body. So how does this new covenant get our eyes focus not only on the hope that we have in the future, but the hope that we have right now.
Yeah, well, I have to do the plug for presence again, because our present, this moment right now, is guaranteed by his presence. So he is with us all the time, and when we're children of God, 24/7 he is with us. So that's why in John 17, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Goes back to one of the promises of the new covenant. They will all know me. And then, well, how do we live this life? Do you go back to law so you know what to do and not do? No. You live by grace through faith. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory, gives you everything you need for right now to live the life you've been called to live. Only he can live it in you. I can't do in it. I can't do a bit of it. And if I go to law and try to keep a law, I'm going to end up on my face in the gutter. And he says, why do you do that? Let me do what only I can do. I've promised to do it. I'm going to bring it to fulfillment.
Yeah, because in Hebrews 12, we see the great passage, the encouragement for all of us to keep our eyes on mm-hmm. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Law doesn't allow you to do that.
No.
Law keeps you focused on your sin, and the evident or the potential punishment that's going to come as a result of that. And it keeps you worried about it and in guilt and shame and all of that. That's just what the law does. Why? Because it speaks a language of judgment, condemnation, and death. It doesn't encourage you. It doesn't pat you on the back and say, yeah, you were pretty close, and maybe yeah. next time you'll get a yeah. little closer.
Nice try.
No, it doesn't say that kind of stuff at all. It just condemns us. It just judges us. And so if you're going to live by law, then that's what you're going to live in, judgment and condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
The new covenant sets you free from all of that. to really get your eyes focused on Jesus and this new life that he has given you. This new covenant is a covenant of life.
Yes.
When Paul went out, he went out as a minister of the new covenant. What was he ministering? The very life of Christ to his audiences. What do we minister today? The same thing, reconciliation and life through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's this grace of God that keeps our eyes focused on Jesus, walking in the Spirit, and the byproduct is we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. That's the good news. That's how the grace of God trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. You just get to the point where you say, hey, that's not who I am. I don't belong that there anymore. And that decision becomes easier and easier as you grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So we've looked at our past. We've looked at our present as far as the implications of this new covenant. What about our future, Richard? How does this new covenant impact our future and how we think about our future?
Well, our future is guaranteed by Jesus' victory. I mean, we keep coming back to Jesus because that's all we've got to come back to. He is everything. I mean, we've talked about this passage many times before, but it's important to hear it again. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. So because of Jesus' victory and the fact that he can give us his presence today, that seals us for the future. That means our future is guaranteed. We don't have to worry about if I've been good enough, because Jesus was good enough, and he's given us that. In fact, Jesus says this in Revelation. It's one of the most powerful passages in Revelation, and he starts with it. Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Satan does not control death and Hades. Jesus controls that. Satan is just so much noise. Jesus is all powerful. He's the one who has that power and has given it to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Notice that Jesus prophesied this way back in John 10 when he said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life." Notice that stealing, if you allow it, means the past. Satan tries to keep us in the past, stealing our forgiveness from us. He tries to kill us in the present by not allowing us to experience the presence of God. And he tries to destroy our future by keeping us so fearful of a terrible, angry God that we don't want to go there. That's all Satan tries to do with the people of the world. Once you've become a child of God, you realize that Satan is just lying through his teeth, and Jesus is all-powerful. That's why we live in the new covenant.
Absolutely. I know when we think about the future, there's that passage in Hebrews 9 that says you die once and then comes the judgment. And that's what so many people are afraid of is that judgment. But there's this wonderful promise that when Christ returns, he's not coming back to bear sins again, but to bring salvation to those who are awaiting him.
Yes.
And it really kind of ties this all together when we realize that when Jesus did his work on our behalf and he saved us by grace, he saved us completely. It wasn't a partial salvation. It wasn't a temporary reprieve. It was total and complete salvation. And we're going to experience the fullness of that in the future when Christ returns and we're going to be with him. We're going to get these resurrected bodies. And everything is going to be made right and put right, and God's initial plan will all be summed up in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Our salvation is guaranteed. It's not quite complete, and it's going to be.
Yes. So Christ has saved us completely. We're going to experience that when he returns. Yeah. That's the good news of this new covenant. Thank you so much for joining us on today's edition, Richard. God bless you and your retirement. And
thank you.
We'll be excited to hear about your trip that you're taking, and we'll look forward to that. But thank you again for all that God has done in and through you to serve this ministry called Basic Gospel. If you would like to be a part of Basic Gospel with joining our financial team, all the information on how to do that is available at our website at basicgospel.net. Just click the donation button and follow all the instructions. We'll have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.